Where did you go? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie.
I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
It's getting better all the time.
We've now surpassed 1 million coronavirus cases and 60,000 deaths in the span of about 2 months.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of people, but if you look at what original projections were, 2.2 million, we're probably heading to 60,000, 70,000.
The COVID-19 pandemic has now claimed more than 70,000 lives in the United States.
To admit, it's getting better.
Trump had the chance to act early to prevent both a public health crisis and an economic one, and instead he chose to ignore and downplay the threat. Or as he put it yesterday at the White House,
this plague should never have happened. It could have been stopped, but people chose not to stop it.
Oh, people chose not to stop it? Why so coy? Pray tell, Donald. Who are these people you speak of?
This plague never should have happened, but someone really dropped the ball. I'm not going to name names. Mike Pence.
Hey, maybe he was talking about his spectral son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Kushner has supposedly played a central role in the administration's coronavirus response, and on Wednesday, he said this to Fox and Friends.
We're on the other side of the medical aspect of this, and I think that we've achieved all the different milestones that are needed. So the federal government rose to the challenge, and this is a great success story.
Seriously, we have 1 million cases, 60,000 deaths, and 30 million out of work.
It's getting better since you've been mine.
In reality, we're learning that the death toll is almost certainly an undercount.
Getting so much better all the time.
And if you're looking for a metric to compare our so-called success story to actual success stories in other countries, there's this. We recorded our first case of coronavirus on the same day that South Korea recorded theirs. And this week, while we were passing 1 million cases, South Korea was reporting that they had reported no new domestic cases of COVID-19 for the first time since February. That's right, in South Korea, they're down to zero new domestic cases, while over here, the president is suggesting we should gnaw on the Tide-to-go pens like they're breadsticks. And not only is our caseload much higher, but the federal government has also failed to provide any leadership at all in responding to that caseload. In fact, Trump has failed so spectacularly to provide any coherent federal coordination that states have essentially divvied themselves up into regional partnerships to work together, basically forming mini federal governments. There's a Western States Pact that includes California and Oregon, a Midwest partnership between Illinois, Michigan, and 5 other states, and a regional advisory council of 7 states, including New York and New Jersey.
It's getting better all the time.
In fact, just to give you an idea of how miserably Trump has failed at even the most basic aspects of his job, here's a truly insane story about what officials in Illinois had to do just to get masks for healthcare workers without federal leadership. Illinois officials tracked down a supply of 1.5 million potentially life-saving N95 respirator masks in China through a middleman in the Chicago area and negotiated a deal to buy them. One day before they were expecting to complete the purchase, they got a call in the morning from the supplier informing them he had to get a check to the bank by 2 p.m. that day or the deal was off. Other bidders had surfaced. Illinois Assistant Comptroller Ellen Andres jumped into her car and raced north on I-55 with a check for $3.5 million. They arranged to meet in the parking lot of a McDonald's restaurant just off the interstate, and they made the handoff there.
It's a little like the regular flu that we have flu shots for, and we'll essentially have a flu shot for this in a fairly quick manner.
You take a solid flu vaccine, you don't think that would have an impact or much of an impact on corona?
No.
They're going to have vaccines, I think, relatively soon. And they're going to have something that makes you better, and that's going to actually take place, we think, even sooner.
And I hope they use the hydroxychloroquine.
It'll be a gift from heaven if it works.
Is there a way we can do something like that? By injection inside or almost a cleaning.
I would like you to speak to the medical doctors to see if there's any way that you can apply light and heat to cure.
It's getting better all the time. I used to be cruel to my woman, I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved. Man, I was mean, but I'm changing my scene, and I'm doing the best that I can. I admit, it's getting better.
April 30th also marks the end of the federal social distancing guidelines, and yesterday, President Trump announced that they will not be extended further.
It's a little better all the time. Yes, I admit, it's getting better. It's getting better.
There's tremendous pent-up demand. I feel it. I feel it. I think sometimes what I feel is better than what I think.
Getting so much better all the time. It's getting better all the time.
If we didn't do it, you would have had 1 million people, 1.5 million people, maybe 2 million people dead. But we're going toward 50 or 60,000 people.
It looks like we'll be at about a 60,000 mark.
60, maybe 65,000.
65,000 people.
70,000.
75, 80. 80 or 90,000 people. If you call losing 80 or 90,000 people successful.
They had minimum numbers of 100,000. And I think we're going to beat that.
If we can hold that down, as we're saying, to 100,000, so we have between 100 and 200,000, we all together have done a very good job.
You know, Trump did a great job. He really just lost 1.5 Vietnams.
Now, the real news, which we wanted to get to, is we now have 1 million COVID cases, okay? Kanye informed me the other day. It's called platinum. We've gone platinum. COVID has gone platinum. And that used to be, remember, before Trump. You go platinum, that was like, nobody goes platinum anymore. I went platinum with COVID. That used to be a good thing. Now everybody has to be anti-Trump, so it's not a good thing. It is a good thing. I want to go diamond. Speaking of which, we miss diamond and silk. I used to call them Raisinette and Goober. We miss them. They were treated very unfairly.
Trump tried to put a positive spin on how many cases of the coronavirus the U.S. now has.
You have areas that are really at a very low point and really heading, I always say, heading south quickly. And that's what we want.
Yep, things are really heading south quickly. I mean, the numbers are rapidly going down the tubes, just circling the drain. And that's what we want.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
I'm going down, 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 down,
Trump didn't seem too worried about opening up too quickly and causing a second wave of cases.
We'll put out the embers or we'll put out the flames. There'll be pockets of fire and we'll put them out. If you have a, I call them burning embers, boom.
Of course, because the sound you most associate with safely putting out a fire is boom. Trump is lying. He's willfully endangering the lives of Americans, and we know this because the New York Times acquired an internal government memo showing Trump administration models predict a near doubling of the daily death toll by June, proving that reopening the economy will put the nation right back where it was in mid-March.
You have some governors that love the tests. You have others that like doing it a different way, an old-fashioned way.
Is old-fashioned what you're looking for in medical care? I don't need these newfangled tests and swabs. Just cover me in leeches and balance my humors. How about a tincture of mercury?
Without a vaccine, sir, why do you think the virus will just be gone?
It's going to go. It's going to leave. It's going to be gone. It's going to be eradicated.
The Trump administration's internal projections were showing U.S. coronavirus deaths nearly doubling by June 1st, plus 200,000 new cases by the end of the month, up from 25,000. Donald Trump, meanwhile, again revising his death estimate, now saying that, quote, hopefully the U.S. would see under 100,000 people die. That is actually the fifth time in just 2 weeks that he's made such a change, as MSNBC's Steve Bannon reported, a tweaking of the projected death toll that's drawing criticism from independent experts, while the medical experts on Donald Trump's own task force releasing numbers in real time that contradict the president.
Our projections have always been between 100 and 240,000 American lives lost, and that's with full mitigation and us learning from each other of how to social distance.
Look, we're going to lose anywhere from 75, 80 to 100,000 people. That's a horrible thing. We shouldn't lose one person over this.
The Washington Post revealing that Donald Trump's, quote, desperate attempts to reopen the country has put the federal response at times in chaos, and one of the motivating factors they found was Donald Trump's hope for re-election rather than what the urgent priorities would be for public health. Take a look at this. Insiders saying the administration built the guidelines on reopening based on economic rather than public health advice, quote, cheering an economic revival rather than managing a catastrophic health crisis.
You know, we're all playing a very complicated game of chess or poker. Name whatever you want to name. But it's not checkers, that I can tell you.
Trump says he wasn't warned. We just found out that Trump received intelligence briefings on coronavirus twice in January. But Trump had an explanation.
On January 23rd, I was told that there could be a virus coming in, but it was of no real import. In other words, it wasn't, oh, we got to do something.
Yes, presidential briefings are known for being loaded with stuff that's just for funsies. That's why the briefings are always labeled, for anyone's eyes, of no real import.
BuzzFeed News reported Wednesday night that a random dude tweeted at Trump that he could make ventilators, and then the White House helped that guy get a lucrative contract to make ventilators, which he never produced. On March 27th, Trump posted on Twitter to urge Ford and General Motors to start making ventilators now. One of the thousands of replies that the tweet attracted struck an equally urgent tone. We can supply ICU ventilators, invasive and non-invasive. Have someone call me urgent. Its author was an electrical engineer in Silicon Valley. A specialist in mobile phone technology, he currently has just 75 followers on Twitter and no apparent experience in government contracting or medical devices. Honestly, how long until he replies to a spam email offering free boner pills? I mean, I guess we'll know exactly how long the day he turns to Dr. Birx in the middle of a press conference and says,
there's also a chance that, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Birx, that boner pills might possibly be an effective treatment for the virus. So if someone had a surplus of boner pills, that person could possibly be a hero. Dr. Birx, I see you've wrapped your head in scarves again. Oh, I can't hear you. It's muffles. When you talk through the scarves, it just comes through as muffles.
I mean, right off the bat, there's so many red flags here. First of all, there are major companies that make ventilators, so if a guy with 75 followers is tweeting at you, he's probably not, you know, a power player. CEO of General Electric doesn't spend all day replying to individual people on Twitter, "I can get you a microwave, have someone call me urgent." Second, making mobile phones has nothing to do with making ventilators. Ventilators help you breathe, while phones, at least in the meantime, help you hyperventilate. Oh, I just got an alert. President says ingesting bleach cures male pattern baldness. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to hyperventilate again. And yet, incredibly, Trump actually took this guy seriously. 3 days later, New York State paid Orrin Pine $69, wait for it, $1 million. The payment was for 1,450 ventilators, at least triple the standard retail price of high-end models. Not a single ventilator ever arrived. State officials said New York entered into the contract at the direct recommendation of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. This is insane. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's the most powerful person on Earth. There is literally a law that allows him to compel companies to make ventilators, and he's combing through his Twitter replies like he's putting a band together.
Oh, okay, this guy's got his own amp. Well, that could really come in handy if we had somebody who had their own amp.
Trump believes that getting the economy moving is, at this point, the only way he can get reelected. So he's going to try to do it, no matter what the risk is to Americans.
The federal government, led by President Trump, considering, for a lack of a better word, surrendering to this virus. With more than 70,000 Americans dead, the president is telling the public that the country must reopen, even if it means more death. But he doesn't have a plan for doing that.
Say, live and let die.
They have effectively, Chuck, abandoned the idea of a national testing strategy. And you heard the press secretary, as Hans just noted, remarkably say that to our colleague Peter Alexander when he pressed her on how people could have the confidence to go to work if we don't have national testing, if there isn't testing in all of those places of work. And she said essentially people would never be satisfied with testing. They would be testing not only every day, but would feel the need to be tested every hour. But the reality is, Chuck, if you take a step back, people don't necessarily have the confidence to go back to work in all of these areas that have started to reopen that haven't even met the administration's benchmark for a phase one reopening. And so President Trump acknowledging that there are going to be more deaths. But if you take a step back, politically speaking, this is a president that feels an immense amount of pressure to get these economies all across the country back up and running because he sees his election chances as tied to the economy.
Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly with his song. Telling my whole life with his words. Killing me softly with his song.
And while his top health experts are telling us to stay home, he's ready to get back out on the road.
They're longing for the rallies. I get it all the time.
Mask or no mask?
But you can't have a rally. I don't think we can have a rally with an empty stadium, with nobody in there. In other words, you know, you may be able to pull it off a baseball or football or boxing or basketball. You can't pull off a rally with 100%. It wouldn't work out too well. So hopefully we'll be able to do rallies in the last couple of months.
That is what this is all about right there. He misses his rallies. He needs to get out there. He needs to be cheered. It's what keeps him going. He's like a shark. He has to keep moving. And he has a hammer for a head. Trump has repeatedly predicted we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year, which is something no one who actually knows anything about developing vaccines seems to agree with. But that's not how our president's brain works.
You're putting your real chips on the vaccine being fast.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. Now, the doctors would say, well, you shouldn't say that. I'll say what I think.
Says the man who suggested we drink bleach. He looked into his crystal ball spot and expects to have a vaccine by the end of the year. It will be administered by mall Santa Clauses. Trump has also been trying to cast himself as a victim of the virus. In the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial, he complained that the media has been very, very mean to him.
I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen. The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse.
You're going to compare yourself to Abraham Lincoln? Well, I'd like to point out that none of his supporters carried Confederate flags.
Trump's fixation on miracle cure-alls and shortcuts is also reflected in a damning new report in the Washington Post detailing a lost month of desperation and dysfunction, in which he ignored and then abandoned the goal of actually beating back the virus and instead focused on prematurely reopening the economy without a plan to do so safely. For example, the Post reports that Trump was pushed privately by political allies like Rudy Giuliani and Fox News hosts to embrace the drug hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for coronavirus, even though it was unproven and potentially dangerous. That's right, hydroxychloroquine. Remember when everyone cared about that for a second? The Tamagotchi of COVID cures? Well, according to the Post, night after night, in late March and early April, he kept hearing about the controversial anti-malarial drug on his favorite Fox News Channel programs, where television doctors and commentators touted its efficacy. Yeah. The TV president who played a TV businessman is listening to TV doctors like Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil. On April 3rd, Fox host Laura Ingraham paid Trump a visit in the Oval Office to talk up hydroxychloroquine. She brought with her two regular on-air guests in what she dubs her medicine cabinet. On April 14th, Ingraham returned to the Oval Office to meet with the president. The Fox host reiterated her belief that the country needed to open and argued for limits on contact tracing. So a Fox host with no medical expertise is directly advising the president on a deadly pandemic while that same president hires pundits he sees on TV and fires or punishes actual experts and inspector generals who criticize him. This is what you get when you make a TV star president. Because when you're on TV, no one ever tells you you're wrong.
Big news from the endangered world of listening to scientists. Because we learned today that the White House plans to wind down the coronavirus task force.
A range of administration officials, including the president and the vice president, spent the day telling reporters yesterday that they were winding down the coronavirus task force as early as Memorial Day. But then he told reporters this afternoon that a lot of people apparently told him how bad of an idea that would be.
And the task force aren't the only experts he's ignored. We now have more evidence, thanks to someone he fired, former director of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, Dr. Rick Bright. Now, despite being an expert in his field, which, again, is vaccine development, Bright was ousted from his job earlier this year after he refused to toe the White House line on coronavirus. Today, Bright filed an extensive whistleblower complaint. Now, Bright says he tried to sound the alarm about COVID-19 back in January, but was met with indifference, which then developed into hostility. The complaint goes on. It was obvious that Dr. Bright's persistent demands for urgent action to respond to the pandemic had caused a storm and were unwelcome in the office of the HHS secretary. You see, during that time, the White House was trying desperately to play down the storm, saying it was nothing more than seasonal turd showers. Bright also pushed back on administration cronyism, saying he resisted efforts to extend a contract with a company whose CEO, he was told, was a friend of Jared Kushner. The question of how soon we should reopen the economy is a tough one, as explained by current top government epidemiologist.
How do you combat people's willingness to accept more cases, to accept even more death?
Well, you know, it's the balance of something that's a very difficult choice, like how many deaths and how much suffering are you willing to accept to get back to what you want to be some form of normality sooner rather than later.
I've been at the White House now for many months, and I'd like to get out.
Mr. President, we would all like to get you out of the White House.
In the West Wing, the self-obsessed wing, the liar tweets tonight. Says, hush, you doctors, hush, reporters, hush, you science nerds. Look, my ratings are through the roof when I just say happy words. Get a test. It's just the flu. It's a hoax like all the rest. A left-wing coup. We've got lots of PPE. The cupboard's bare. It's Obama's fault, you see. The buck stops there. In the country, the quiet country, no nurses sleep tonight. But in the White House, the full of shite house, the liar tweets tonight.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.